This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 171, For Your Eyes Only, from 1981. Again, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Of course, we're not going to ask Nate how long has it been, because he hasn't seen this. He's continuing his fresh new For His Eyes Only in these type of movies. But
these movies are for my eyes only now.
Yes, pretty much. But look, with that said, let's get into the Rotten Tomatoes for this movie. Now, I want to know what the critics and the audience have to say.
Well, this one's actually pretty good. This one sits at, I mean, both scores are, well, one's better than the other, but For Your Eyes Only, 72%. That's critic score. Yeah. No, pretty good. For the Roger Moore movies, it's in the upper, higher ones. Audience score of 64%. So it's well reviewed by both critics and audiences for the most part. But yeah, pretty high for his movies. It's pretty high.
Yeah, no. Actually, it's pretty good though. Because remember, this is now, he's really old. He's older. You get to see it in the role, but we'll talk about that when we start breaking the characters down. But you do see the aging process happening. And he has two more films, all right? He has Octopussy, A View to a Kill, and that's it. He's done. And then comes in Timothy Dalton, I believe, into the role. So with that said, let's get right into the opening number of the new James Bond, For Your Eyes Only. Nate, take it away.
Didn't like it. Guess what? Didn't like it. So this one is sung by Sheena Easton. Didn't like it. Too slow. Not my kind of, you know what? You could do, I'm okay with some of the slow songs. Like, I think one of the ones we did recently had a slow song. I think the last movie had a slow song. But it was one that I liked. Like, I liked the song. This one is slow, but not my style of music at all. It's like a ballad, but like, I don't know. I wasn't into it. And then as far as the credits go, they were okay. You know, this one, you know what the problem was? This looked more like a music video for that song than it did opening credits for the Bond movie. Because, like, she was in it. The lady singing it, none of the other ones have the actual person singing in the credits. Right. And this one, she's always there, her face singing in the, like, blue waters and stuff like that. So I didn't really like it. I'm going to give the whole thing a 2. It felt like a music video for a song I didn't really like. So I wasn't really into it too much.
I mean, I gave it a 3. It was okay. It is what it was. I mean, the song was, I mean, you're right. It was very slow. The video was very, again, with the water and the females. You get to see more of Roger Moore in silhouettes.
Yeah, at least he's in it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I wasn't too captivated like the other ones. Like, The Spy Who Loved Me was a good one. You know, we did The Live and Let Die, of course, is the most famous one.
That was awesome.
Can't wait till we get to A View to a Kill, because I think that's going to be the second best in this entire thing. But yeah, I agree. I wasn't too crazy, but I gave it a 3. It was a Bonish song, I guess you want to say. All right. Shoot. So now let's get right to the lead character, Roger Moore as James Bond.
Well, he's definitely looking a little bit long in the tooth here. He is aging at an incredible rate from movie to movie. this is not that many years after his first movie, but he looks at least 15 years older than he did in the first movie. Yeah. Now, that's not a criticism of, you know, his age shouldn't have a big, you know, effect on it. But it does for me. Like, it makes it hard for me to watch certain scenes when this guy's so old, like all these women, like the figure skater girl, she looks like she's 20 years old and she's like throwing herself. He's not doing anything. Usually he's a little bit creepy. This time he's not being creepy and she's like throwing herself at. And I'm like, come on, give me a break. You know, I understand in the world that younger women may throw themselves at older guys, but usually it's like really rich guys and he's just a spy. You know what I mean? And it was weird. It's like, come on. But besides that, this one, he felt like the last one to me in Moonraker. He's like more serious in this one. So I appreciate the seriousness, but I don't know. Something, I feel like he peaked so far. For me, he peaked with The Spy Who Loved Me. Like, I thought the character was really good, really well written. Gave him some backstory stuff, you know, with like the dead wife, like we talked about. And here he just like shows up and does stuff. And I don't know. I can never give it. I'm going to give him a 3. I never think he's terrible, but like I'm rating the character in the film, and he doesn't really have any kind of intriguing storyline as a character. You know, he's just part of this whole scenario. Yeah. So I don't know. I gave him a 3. Roger Moore's fine, but this is, you know, it is what it is. I thought he was okay.
Yeah, you know, I gave him a 4. I think there's gonna be a 4 going on, to be honest with you. From what I remember, I don't think he elevates. I mean, the older he gets, it's not like he's getting better. The character's the same as the others. I think you're right. I think he did peak in The Spy Who Loved Me. Is the best version of this character he played. In terms of the character, yeah, he's very old. The fighting, you could see they toned the fight even more down. He barely
does any karate in this one.
Yeah, no more judo chops. He just does judo punch. Judo chops.
Just yeah. Too tired for
that. He's too tired. He's too hurt. I agree. I was not too thrilled with this version of the movie, but he's still good as 007. I mean, you can feel the aging, and I think he played this role for way too long. I think this should have been his final movie, brought in Timothy Dalton for another 4. Then you would have been good. But yeah, I agree. It was not good. He's starting to look like a dry chicken on screen. It's not working. It's true. Not working. All right. Main villain.
One. This is, what is this? This is 2 movies in a row.
Yeah.
Like, okay. You know what? I'm just going to give everyone a spoiler alert now. Whether they've seen this movie or not, I think I might be in the minority with a lot of my scores for this movie. Judging by the critic score and the audience score and what I'm seeing from some of our patrons in the side chat, I might be in the minority. This villain sucked. He was no good. He's not in the movie a lot, right? Well, you know what? First of all, this was a trick because I thought Blofeld was going to be the villain because I saw him at the beginning with the cat and I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, I know I've never seen the Sean Connery movies, but I'm familiar with that character.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know Dr. Evil was based off of him and, you know, so I'm familiar. So I was like, oh, finally, like a big, you know, real famous. And then he's just played for a goof. Like, they just play for a laugh, the opening scene. Don't get me wrong, it was cool. Well, we'll get to action, but, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I guess he's not the villain. Just got dropped down a freaking nuclear power plant tube or something. And then we get, like, this is one of those movies where, like, you don't know who's the villain, right, for a little bit. Like, it could be this guy, but this guy says it's this other guy, and this guy says it's this other guy, and then it turns out to be this guy. And for me, it's rare that type of villain is like a really strong villain, unless it's revealed in like the first, let's say, 30 or 40 minutes of the movie. But it's not here. It's not really revealed until like past an hour into the movie. So by the time you know, by the time it's truly established, it's like, but he didn't do anything this whole time. Like, he didn't earn my fear or my admiration as a villain. Like, he's just, I didn't like him. And he had a crazy name, like Kasastarastos or something. I don't know. I can't even pronounce it.
Christostos.
Something like that. I don't know. I you know, his henchman was Tywin Lannister. That was cool.
Yeah.
He was in this.
Charles Dance. Also, yeah.
Hey, yeah. Charles Dance, my boy. Last Action Hero and Tywin Lannister. So it was cool to see him. I was kind of hoping that cool Columbo guy was the villain because he was cool. See, if he was the villain, this would have been way more points. Way more. Because, like, I liked his acting. That's the guy from Fiddler on the Roof. I know that. I liked his, you know, presence, his voice. But he's, like, a good guy, pretty much. So I was like, well, he's not the villain. It's this whack guy. I give him a 1. I didn't like him. Plus, his plot was literally to steal a little, like, it's like a machine that can help with submarines, as far as like for the British submarine, naval, whatever. I'm like, that's it. Just to steal this little doohickey. So I don't know. I give him a 1.
Yeah. It's like, it was like a weapons encryption box or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't world threatening. Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, let's just get to the villain. I ain't like him either. I gave his ass a 1 too. I mean, he was like the Bond villain in what was it? The Last Crusade. Remember when he goes, never trust anyone. Yeah. And then he's the one that backstabbed him because he was part of a Nazi too.
I agree with that.
I think he was played by the same actor. To be honest.
It was Christostos.
Yeah, it's Christostos. But I was not too thrilled with him. He was not in none of the scenes at all. He did not even fight Bond at all. He fought the guy who ate pistachios the whole time. Remember the guy who ate the pistachios?
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell?
You guys are walking in the boat and they're stepping on pistachio shells. I was like, what? What is this?
There was only one man I knew that could step on pistachios, and that was Joe Pesci in Moonwalker. Remember when he ate the peanuts or pistachio?
True.
With the spiders.
Now, he showed up in then five.
That would be a great movie. But look, in terms of the villain, he was not good at all. He did not fight Bond at all. His motives, fine. He wanted to grab the encryption box. He wanted to sell it back to the Russians, but that didn't happen because Bond didn't let it happen. But it's pretty funny, though, because it's just, even the henchmen were not good in this movie. Tyler Lannister was cool, but they were just all buffoons, other buffoons.
He was just cool because I know who he was.
Yeah.
Besides that, he doesn't talk, like, he doesn't do it. No Jaws.
No.
You know?
You don't see him no more. He's done. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
How do they introduce that two movies ago and now all of a sudden they're just back to like random dudes who have no personality?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I was not too thrilled with this. The motives were stupid. The villain is horrible. I think we found another worse actor than Dominic Green and then the guy.
This is two movies in a row where the villain is worse than Dominic Green.
Yeah. Honestly. We did. No, to be honest with you, you're right. So, okay, that said.
Dominic Green is slowly climbing up the ladder.
Yeah, he's becoming the best villain. Bond villain.
He went from 25th to 24th. Or
23rd, like all right, action scenes.
All right, now I will be honest. This movie got some really, really well done action. And I'm going to, especially considering what we've seen in the Roger Moore series, this is a 5. This is a 5. This is the first time where when the action came on, in this series of movies, I was like, every single time, except when I got one gripe, I was like, oh, this is good. Now, fun fact, the guy who directed this, named John Glenn, he actually directed the next 5 Bond movies. So he finished out the Roger Moore movies, and he did the 2 Timothy Dalton movies, which those have good action, too.
Yeah,
and now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, you know what? He shoots. I like his style. He shoots everything on the motion. The helicopter scene in the beginning. Yeah, the helicopter scene in the beginning was fun. You know, there's some green screen, but that's okay. It was well done. I thought it was better than the skiing in that other movie where it's like very horrible.
Well, he did skiing in this too.
Well, the skiing in this was way better.
No, it was. Scene, it did. Yeah.
Especially when we got into like the freaking luge, the luge thing, and oh my god, it was good. That scene was great. The helicopter scene was great. The little chasing in the little yellow car, like
the whole thing,
it was good. And my favorite part was when they leave his car and it says it's like burglar proof or whatever.
Yeah,
and the guy hits it and he just blows up. Oh my god, I was laughing so hard. Like a dummy, it just gets blown to smithereens. Hilarious. But the action's awesome. I'll let you go. It's really, really, really good action, to be honest with you. I gave it a 5.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I gave it a 5 too. I was into the action. I mean, there ain't no Bond movie without a skiing. Like, you have to have everything. A skiing, a boat. But we didn't get a boat.
Underwater.
Yeah.
And then they went to a submarine again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. But at least it wasn't no fight. So
that's
no
true. Fight in the at water. Least it wasn't on top of the water boat chase again.
Yeah. But I thought, to be honest with you, I thought the action's very well. It was just the one that I was very stunned on how they did with like practical. It was one of the scenes that looked practical.
There was a guy dangling out of the helicopter at the beginning.
On a wheelchair.
Yes.
I was like, yo, that's bonkers.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. But that scene was kind of corny too.
It was corny, like, but it was like Bond. It was practical.
No, it was. He was like, Mr. Bond, you're going to die.
He's hitting the never thing. Show his face because you know it's just some random actor.
They couldn't afford.
Put me down. And he's like, you want to go down? And he drops him down a chimney.
Oh. Yeah. We can talk about this ordeal. It was like mad overdubbed. Horrible overdubbed. No, but there was a lot of cool scenes. Like the scope, when they did like that whole... what is it called? The people that they're for in the skiing thing. And
that's
speeding.
The luge. That's what I'm talking about. Luge. The bobsled.
The bobsled, yes. And then he was on it without the sticks. And he's going like this. And then you saw the motorcycle dude behind him. I was like, oh, my God. Cool. Yeah. The only thing I was a little hurt, we didn't get gadgets. I was like, we didn't get that much gadgets this. I thought we were going to have some cool car gadgets. Because I do remember one of the Bonds, the car turned into like a sled, like the skis were the tires. Mm. Like it turned into tires. And I was like, oh, this is it. The Lotus is going to turn into a skiing thing. And it didn't happen. And I was like, son of a
bitch. You know what? Q really be making some useless, like umbrella with the little spikes on it. Like,
when you water it?
You're supposed to give the bad guy and say, here's an umbrella for you. And then water it, and it's going to chop his head off. Like, what?
That was stupid.
But and the other cast, one that was. And
yes. Just
bust the guy's head.
That was funny. That was funny.
I mean, that one was funny, but the umbrella was useless.
Yeah, like, that one was useless. But
in what scenario are you just going to hand the bad guy an umbrella? He's going to close on his head and cut it off. I don't
know. When he comes out of the limo, he just opens it. His head gets cut off, and then you die because you're surrounded by his henchmen.
Yeah, it seems risky. Like, chop your hand off.
Yeah, pretty much. But all right. Other than that, I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5 storyline.
I didn't like it. I didn't like this movie. I like the tone of the movie. Okay. It's way less goofy than Moonraker. They brought it back, you know, literally down to Earth. It's all on Earth. There's no space. There's no lasers. You know, it's good. The problem is that I was really bored throughout almost the whole entire movie. I don't know why these Roger Moore movies, I find the plots so hard to like follow along. Honestly, like I never know what he's doing while he's doing it. He just does stuff.
Yeah.
So the problem for me with a movie like this is like, yeah, sure, the action's really good. So when there's action scenes happening, I'm enjoying it, especially on a technical level. But the problem is everything in between is really boring. Really boring. Didn't like it. Again, the plot is all about Bond trying to find this little device before the Russians find this device. That's it. Okay. Simple enough, but it doesn't really lead to a lot of like twists and turns. You know, they try with, like I said, with the guy with Columbo. You think he might be bad or what, but it's like, it literally is like one scene and then you're like, never mind. He's a good guy. So
never mind.
The pistachios on the boat. Yeah. So I don't know.
Luigi. You remember Luigi?
Luigi. Yeah. Luigi. Yeah. Like it's just James Bond meeting people and doing stuff. And ultimately it leads to like, okay, here's what I really don't understand. This boat, they knew this boat that blew up had this device on it. Why did it take so long for them to just go to that boat and go get it? Like, why does he have to meet 50,000 people, meet this lady who wants revenge because the Cuban guy shot her parents in a helicopter or in an airplane? And then he's got to meet, and then they just go down there and get it. Like, they could have done this.
Because, no, I think because of it was how deep it was, and her owned like
the dad did.
Yeah,
owned the dad, like, was submarine. Hired to like get a submarine and go down. Yes. But I just feel like I watched five of these movies and he drove a freaking car underwater. I'm pretty sure they could have just gave him something that can go underwater. So it was hard for me to like really get into it. I give it a 2. I didn't like the story in this one. I think there's good things about this movie, but the plot, it didn't really do much for me, to be honest.
Look, to be honest with you, man, this is the first time for me to say it, but I gave it a 2.5. I was bored throughout most of the scenes, and not in a bad way. I just think the tone of the script was really off for me, because one minute we're watching the parents on the boat, they get assassinated, and you're going, oh, Bond is going to now, you know, help her or something. But that storyline never developed at all. I was like, oh my God. I was like, what was the whole point of this situation? Like, that was god awful. The scene with the nuclear weapon encoding and all this, they didn't even elaborate much on it. Like, all you had was M going 007, and he was just like, yes. And he breaks it down like he always does when he walks into the damn thing. And I was just like, but you're not giving us like what happens if someone gets their hands on this shit. Do they control all nuclear warheads? Do they have all access to nuclear warheads without even nothing? We didn't get much of that.
They have access to the ones on those submarines or something like that.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it was
not explained good.
No. And then they show the Russian dude every scene. And tell me you don't agree with me. The last movie, they show the same Russian dude with another hot chick in bed or walking and he slaps the ass. Like, it was just a weird thing. And I was just like, but why you got to keep showing this Russian
like KGB leader?
Yes. Yeah. The who hired XXX in one of the movies or something.
Two movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I gave it a 2.5. I'm not going to say it was like really horrible. I think it was decent. I don't think it was good. I just thought it was decent. It was way better than Moonraker, which
true.
I'll be honest with you on that.
Low bar to clear.
Yeah, that is a very low bar. So far, to be honest with you, I think Spy Who Loved Me is the best one, and then comes Live and Let Die, and then whatever you want to fill in. But all right, so I gave it a 2.5. You gave it a 2 overall.
I didn't like it. I didn't like this movie. The plot and the story brought it down so much for me that I ended up not really having a good time watching it because I was really bored. And to me, even great action movies, the best action movies have a story that you're engaged in so that when the action hits, it's you're more into it. You know what I mean? For me, like, just putting action on the screen doesn't do it for me. It doesn't do it for me. As much as I love action, we're the Action Movie Guys podcast, literally just a movie of action with no kind of good plot or drive behind it, it does nothing. And this is what that felt like to me. This felt like, okay, we got this director who's a first-time director, and he did a good job with the choreography, the action scenes, the shooting. It was all great, but like, this script is not good, and it was really boring. The Bond girl was like not a good actress. They didn't have any chemistry, so of course they end up, in the end of the movie, they end up together. It's like, really though? Like, I didn't feel it. There's the one random blonde lady who gets hit by the car on the beach. That was hilarious too. I was laughing
Empress,
at that.
The something yeah. like that. Like, yeah, weird.
Yeah, like they just hooking up, and then she gets run over by that beach car, and then there's the skier girl, and I'm like, I don't know. I liked Columbo. I thought he was a cool character. I wish there was more of him. He actually added some cool stuff. Overall, because the action is really good, the story's bad. I'll go right in the middle. I gave it a 2.5 overall. I think, 5 out of 10 movie for me. I didn't regret seeing it. I probably won't ever watch it again either, though. I don't think it's terrible, but I do think it's very boring. And that is not a good thing for an action movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, again, I gave it a 2.5 on my score sheet. There was nothing here for me to resonate going, wow, this is actually pretty good. The action scenes were, again, shot very well, practical, awesome, but other than that, it's just flat. It's just a flat sound of a movie of action. I mean, the plot line is not much plot. Another Roger Moore movie where the plot doesn't even kick in till 40 minutes into the movie, or maybe later. 60.
It's like an hour because it's 10 minutes.
Yeah,
before you're like, oh, okay, now I really know all the way what's happening.
And then he goes to the, I always enjoy when Bond is in a casino and he starts beating the guy, which is kind of mad hilarious.
Yeah,
he takes the guy's money. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. But again, it's just like the movie doesn't establish itself until a really long time. It has a lot of dead spots here and there. The girl, the Olympic gold winner that only wants to win a medal, horrible. The scene that got me really mad, and I don't know if you're going to agree, was when he had to rock climb. And I was like, this dude cannot even lift himself up. And you're going to tell me he's going to go up that mountain?
He's like 60 years old climbing up a mountain.
Dude, that shit did not make sense to me. I was like, there is no way this Bond version is going to climb up a mountain.
I wish they were more focused on telling a really good story rather than trying to have James Bond do an action scene in every single possible scenario. Right? Because you have air, land, snow, mountain, water. You don't need all of them. You could just do a couple of them and then have a good story. It's like, let's just put them in as many crazy scenarios as possible and people will love it.
I agree with you. It's the worst. I'm not going to say the worst. It was bad. It did not fit. Yeah. It did not work for me at all. I don't know what the hell my daddy was smoking when he thought this was a good movie, but I can't tell him that now because he passed away. But yeah, this was one of his favorites. So again, I guess it's a generational thing. When it came out, it was really good. A lot of people enjoy it. But look, in my book, I gave it a 2.5. You gave it a 2.5. Total points.
13.5 is my total score. I think it's, Roger Moore so far is my least favorite. And Dalton only had 2.
Yeah.
So it's hard to rank him. But definitely, even Pierce Brosnan, who had that horrible Die Another Day, which is just like very terrible. Yeah. On the whole, I like better. Craig, way better. I just don't like his movies. I thought The Spy Who Loved Me was legitimately great, and the rest have been okay to bad for me. So I'm 2 more. Maybe they'll finish strong. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I gave it a 14 even. It's a 14 even.
We're only half a point off.
Yeah, we're half a point off. But look, again, it's just a weird thing. It's just weird. It felt weird for me because it's like I think they had him played Bond way too long. I think they should have just, and this should have been his last movie, or the last one should have, Moonraker should have been his last movie, and then hired Timmy D. Dalton, and he had another four. But they didn't go down that route. They gave him seven movies. You're getting to see the wear and tear on this on Roger Moore.
Yeah.
The more is starting to go by. So, and it feels weird when he makes out with the chicks. It just feels weird. Does not like look it. Natural at all. But anyway, it is what it is. I gave it a 14. What did you give it again?
13 and a half.
There you have it, guys. Nate, what is coming up next?
Yeah, so of course, this is we're getting towards the end here. So coming up, we got two more Roger Moore movies. Next week will be Octopussy. Never seen it. You guys already know. And then, of course, our next episode coming up this week, going through that river of time. And we're in the 2010s. We're going to be doing Christopher Nolan's Inception. So you definitely want to pay attention for those two.
Yeah, if you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix. More reviews, anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast, or go to www.geeksandflicks.com where you have the entire podcast at your disposal, from video to audio of your favorite podcast. Again, you can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Search for Action Movie Guys. Subscribe to the channel. Listen to the latest episode. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.